Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Joy Powers. A major investigative piece came out yesterday in the New York Times. It reports the NFL studies on concussions from 1996 through 2001 were grossly flawed. The league has long relied on the data from those studies to back their claim that the verdict is still out on long-term health effects of concussions.
At the same time, it was just recently that for the first time, an NFL executive publicly acknowledged the risks from head injuries in the sport. And that's where we'll start our conversation with Sean Ranft. He's managing editor at the website The Sports Post. Sean, welcome to Lake Effect.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we have three sports and three topics that we're going to talk about which the leaders of those sports would probably like to see disappear anyway. But let's start with football and the admission last week by an NFL executive that, yeah, it seems to make sense that there probably is a connection between head trauma sustained in the sport and the degenerative condition known as CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. On one level, this would seem to come from the department of duh, but why is it such a big deal on another level?
It's a huge deal because they've downplayed this for years, and more recently they've just avoided it for months. And I think as recently as the Super Bowl, they said there was no link. They downplayed it for months, for weeks, and then suddenly, hey, well, maybe there's a link to it.
Do we have any sense for why now? Why? I mean, was it just it doesn't sound like it was a casual slip of the tongue.
No, they actually released a statement after the fact saying that that's the position of the NFL. And then about 2 hours after that, though, said the scientific community indisputably stands with the fact that it's unknown if there's a link. So it was already contradicting their statement from 24 hours previous. So I don't know how they're playing that. I know that a few former athletes wanted to file another lawsuit to catch up with the fact that they're finally admitting it now. I don't know if that's going to go anywhere.
But this would seem to be the biggest fallout from that is it might impact future legal claims.
Oh, it's huge, yeah. I mean, the settlements have already been pretty big as much as they want to admit. I mean, it's hard to say something doesn't exist and then you're settling for that amount of money.
Is this kind of on a level where the cigarette companies finally admitted that cigarettes cause cancer?
That maybe are bad. Yeah. probably, at least from strictly an NFL standpoint for former players. I know they had raw numbers on, I think it was 90 of 94 former players whose brains were examined. They found it, which is 96%, I think. And they had 45 of 55 college players where they found it as well. And then about a day after that statement was made earlier this week, they said that it's also becoming more widespread in contact sports in general. It's definitely firm in football, but it's coming up sooner and sooner, and they don't know how widespread it's going to get, and they're kind of afraid of that, too. So,
Would you imagine that someday this might impact what we see on the field if we go up to Lambeau on a Sunday afternoon?
I think so. I know they're already trying to harp on player safety. And with head injuries, there's only so much you can do with players going full speed in that sport. It's pure athletic ability and just going as hard as you can. And they're penalizing helmet-to-helmet penalties, and they're making those illegal, but you can't stop it if it happens. I mean, and if they've been playing that long already, I don't know what changes they can make that are going to help. I hate when people use the "oh, they know what they signed up for" reasoning, and they do. They understand what's going on, but to act like it's not a big deal is also a pretty bad thing.
Well, and I know, I think it was this week as well, this past week as well, where at least I think it was Dartmouth or Brown, one of the Ivy League teams says it's considering doing away with tackling in at least spring practices.
Oh, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I always find it odd in training camps, too. They have contact drills and non-contact drills and pads days and days where they don't wear the pads. And you always see these weird injuries out of training camps that don't need to happen. I'm not saying just go through the motions and, you know, don't do anything, but it feels like these guys don't really need to work on all this stuff as far as plays go. If you're new and you're in training camp, that's a huge deal. But I imagine a lot of veteran players don't have to do that. I know Brett Favre avoided that sort of thing in the last years of his career, and A lot of players find it pointless. I mean, they show up because there are usually bonuses attached to that.
But yeah, I mean, you look at training camp games and how many quarters of how many plays did Aaron Rodgers get into during preseason last year?
Yeah, did he play a full quarter? Maybe once? Yeah. Maybe the last game they play a half or something? And they want to add another preseason game? They're talking about doing that? I know the Packers are going to be in five because they're in the Hall of Fame game this coming season, which doesn't make any sense. They don't need to play all those extra games. They don't need to expand playoffs. I know any talks of that, they should stop. If they actually care about player safety and cutting back on injuries, they should stop trying to expand.
All right. So from that heavy duty contact sport to tennis, which is not a contact sport in the same way anyway. But Maria Sharapova, one of the women's stars for a long time now, has seen some of her sponsors abandon her for her positive doping test. She apparently used a substance called meldonium since 2006. She claims she didn't read an email earlier this year from the World Anti-Doping Agency that included that substance on the newest list. Sounds like there's some evidence that a lot of athletes might not read those emails. They are confusing. But what do you think we should read into her case?
I mean, I can understand a general, you know, not reading your emails all the time, but I feel like someone of her stature in that sport and as big of a name as she is, you would know, someone would let you know that
right,
this is
banned. Right, if she's not reading her emails,
right, somebody is yeah. for her. She's been taking this for 10 years. It was banned at the beginning of this year, and I read already more than 100 athletes have been caught with this one. She's the biggest name by far, I'm pretty sure. And the most interesting thing I thought about is that the company who manufactured it says you're supposed to use it for 4 to 6 weeks. So 10 years, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to question her heart condition. I know that's what it's typically treated. But if 100-plus athletes are using it and it helps with endurance and you're in tennis or there was a sprinter, I mean, it seems a little fishy. But it was just banned, so I don't know.
Are we at the point where it is just difficult to give any athletes the benefit of the doubt?
It's really hard. I mean, we had a player in baseball a few weeks ago banned for life because of his third positive test in 11 months. Obviously, everyone here knows with the Ryan Braun thing a few years ago, HGH in the NFL, that's the thing. Every time there's something that comes out, we're kind of numb to it now. We just assume, oh, yeah, they'll be suspended. It wasn't smart. They always deny it, which, I mean, I guess I understand. You're not going to admit right away until, you know, a week later when they say, well, maybe you should apologize for it after your sponsors drop out. And I don't know. I feel like it's hard to give any of them the benefit of the doubt now. And especially, I mean, she's been taking it for 10 years. She has to know that it's doing something. And it is March now, so it has been banned for a few months. They should know by now. I don't know how long it sticks around in your system, but...
Well, and at the same time, what always strikes me in these cases, not only do the athletes deny that they were using substances, and honestly, you know, who knows what Maria Sharapova was thinking, but there's always a certain level of indignation that the athletes use to deny that they've been doping, that I can't believe you would suspect me of this in the face of the sheer numbers of other people who have been, you know, suspended or otherwise punished.
Oh, absolutely. I never understand that either, especially, I mean, it's the year 2016. We've punished and seen so many athletes suspended. You're not getting away with it. It's just not happening. I mean, Braun won his appeal on a technicality, which, I mean, it was an independent arbitrator. If it was a technicality, it was a technicality. He won the appeal. But he did use something, and he finally admitted to it after they banned him. And, yeah, every athlete before that. Obviously, Lance Armstrong, the biggest example there, who was far worse than any of these with how far he went to make sure nobody knew or brought it out.
Well, and I think, you know, the other thing that really strikes you as you watch these players, even for the ones who have, you know, served their time and supposedly cleaned up their act, they never really escape that cloud of suspicion for the rest of their career.
No, that's never going to happen. I know Braun still deals with a few boos here and there, and they're always going to be tied to that for the one time. And obviously, usually it's not just one time. They get caught once, and then they say, well, this is the first time I used this. I don't know what I was doing.
What a coincidence.
I had no idea this was in my body. So I don't blame a lot of people for looking for something. But if it's banned and you got caught, just own up to it. It's actually going to be a lot easier for you, I imagine, if you come out right away and say, hey, I made a mistake and I'm looking to move on. And obviously some people are going to say, well, you know, they cheated, they're a cheater, and just hold them to that the rest of their lives. But a lot of people are going to be like, well, okay. Instead of drawing this out for months.
Damage control is not their specialty.
No, never.
All right. One more topic. Rich Goose Gossage has not pitched in the major league since 1994, but that does not seem to stop him from thinking he ought to enforce baseball's unwritten codes that were in effect from the time before he started playing. He is sort of a one-man crusade to keep baseball from being, I don't know, flashier.
I guess. I guess he's really against people celebrating things and having fun, playing a game.
Look like they're enjoying themselves?
Yeah, I guess we don't want that. I mean, I know people always bring up the fact that people in sports get paid a ridiculous amount of money, which is true, but they're also playing a game, which is supposed to be fun.
He focuses specifically in his comments on people who might show up the other team. And this is something that, you know, we've heard about for a long time. You show up a pitcher, the pitcher is going to plunk one of your teammates. Is it time for that code to be gone altogether?
I feel like it's been time for that code to be gone for a long time. If Goose hears this, I'm only 26 years old, so I'm sure my opinion doesn't matter on the issue at all. But I just never understood the retaliation thing. I feel like a few years ago, I was sort of like, yeah, you know, teammates sticking up for one another. Now it's like, no, they're just mad that someone did something against them, and they're going to throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at their body.
You would think this was part of the game, that somebody is going to hit a home run or drive in the winning run in some other way, or on the other side, someone will strike out a batter in a crucial situation.
Yeah, that happens all the time with pitchers. And it's always batters who get the flack for bat flipping, which is funny. as long as nobody's getting hurt by it. Just watching your home run for a little while longer, especially if it's a big one. And pitchers strike out guys all the time and pump their fists and pound their glove or point to the sky. I know there's one reliever who shoots an arrow into the sky, which is a symbolic thing for him. And Sergio Romo for the Giants said Bryce Harper needs to stop, among others, who bat flip or show up the opposition. And Sergio Romo is one of the more animated relievers in the game when he
does something. At least he is when he was when he was effective.
Yes, exactly. So I just don't get why you'd be against people expressing themselves as long as it's not hurting anyone.
It's certainly an interesting mental exercise, and there's certainly a lot more attention paid to bat flipping than there is people who let the bat fly and have it, you know, crash into the first few rows of the bleachers.
Oh yeah, I feel like, again, I mean, obviously when the bat goes into the stands like that, that's an accident, and it's sometimes unavoidable. But being so angry about someone just flipping their bat, he just doesn't want people having fun. He thinks it's a disgrace to the game, and he singled out Harper and Batista and Cespedes as well, which is always interesting to me.
And at some point, I think this is one of those stories that always happens in sports. You find someone who was a star or a notable figure from yesteryear, and you ask them to comment about the sport of today, and they say it's not the same. I mean, how many times has Don Shula been asked about comparing teams of today with the undefeated 72 Dolphins?
Right. It's always better when you were playing. Nothing that changes is good. And especially in baseball now, with nerds ruining baseball, as he so eloquently put it. I've never understood not wanting all of the information possible at your disposal. I know some things are very obvious in all sports, and some things you can have scouting reports before you actually have game film on them, maybe, especially if you haven't played them and you can make adjustments beforehand. I don't think anyone's trying to ruin baseball. I know a lot of younger GMs have been hired, a lot of Ivy League guys have been hired, and if you look at those, they're starting to do really good things with a lot of teams that haven't been doing so great the last few years. And yeah, it's always going to be better when you're playing, I guess. And Don Shula with the undefeated Dolphins, I just want someone to win all 19 games, just so they can stop having their little, what is it, the champagne circle every year. I get it. It's a big deal. But who cares? I don't get why you get so angry over something so meaningless, really. It's a game. People are just having fun.
Well, I'm going to go run the metrics on this interview, but Sean Ramp, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sean Ramft is managing editor and a writer at the website The Sports Post and a Lake Effect contributor.